Welcome to the American Anthropological Association and Canadian Anthropological Society's podcast mini-series in support of the 2023 annual meeting. I'm your host, Matt Arts, and on this mini-series, we'll be talking with the AAA and CASCA members about the theme of transitions and how it relates to their work in Toronto. We'll also get their input on the Greater Toronto Area and what they think is important to experience when you are in town for the conference. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
Bonjour, and welcome to the American Anthropological Association podcast mini-series in support of the 2023 annual meeting on the theme of transitions. Today's episode will be bilingual, with code mixing and code switching from French to English. So if you are a language purist, this probably is not the episode for you. Or maybe it is. I will be your co-host. My name is Isabelle Leblanc. I'm a sociolinguist and professor at l'Université de Moncton. Et je tiens à souligner que l'état sur lequel je me trouve pour prendre la parole aujourd'hui font partie du territoire traditionnel non cédé des Mi'kmaq. And I will be in conversation with none other than Monica Hélère. She's the past president of AAA and currently president of the Canadian Association of Anthropology, ou la Société canadienne d'anthropologie, which is co-organizing the annual meeting in Toronto that will go from November 15 through November 19 this year. Monica est professeure émérite de l'Université de Toronto. Her area of specialization is linguistic anthropology with a focus on the role of language in the construction of social difference and social inequality, especially as tied to ideologies of nation state and linguistic minority movements au Canada francophone, mais aussi en Europe. Her last book is Language, Capitalism, Colonialism Toward a Critical History, with Bonnie McAlany, published in 2017 at University of Toronto Press. Monica is joining this conversation from Toronto, a place where she lives and works, a place that has for thousands of years been the traditional land of the Huron-Wendat, the Seneca, and most recently, the Mississaugas of the Credit River. Today, this meeting place is still the home to many Indigenous people from across Turtle Island, and we express gratitude to have the opportunity to hold an annual meeting on this land. So, Monica, for a first-time transition of many, I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about this idea in your last book of walking backward into the future, and how that relates to the knotted stories of language and land in Toronto.
Oui, mais justement, le fait que de plus en plus, on est en train de retourner en arrière pour comprendre où on est, pour reconnaître la présence autochtone sur cet espace. You know, these are ways in which we are trying to understand what it means to live and be with each other in this space, in terms of revisiting the history, revisiting the different perspectives on history that we come from. C'est un endroit où il y a plein de trajectoires dans le passé actuellement qui se croisent. We bring different relations of different positions, different relations of power, different ways of understanding and relating to the water, the air, the land here. And so in some sense, I think we are in a historical moment where we're trying to understand better, motivated probably in large part by climate change, to be perfectly honest about it, but that our ways of our stories about how we got to where we are and therefore how we should be now aren't really adequate to the time. And haven't worked so well for lots of people. Donc, je pense qu'on est vraiment dans un moment de transition, de réflexion sur un endroit qu'on appelle, de manière variée, Toronto, Toronto, Toronto. These are different places in many ways, and you move from one zone to the other in space and time. So that's sort of what we were trying to get at with that, by using Raymond Williams' idea.
Mm. Une des choses quand c'était de Toronto, c'est toute la question de diversité. And I was actually on the website of the city of Toronto, and it claims to be the most multicultural and linguistically diverse cities in the world. So I learned that more than half, so 51% of those living in Toronto are actually born outside of Canada. Il y aurait 180 langues et dialectes parlés à Toronto. The city's motto is actually diversity is our strength. And it says it reflects the values and traditions of Toronto as a diverse and welcoming city. Et donc, je me demandais, Monica, c'est quoi tes pensées sur ce discours de la ville sur la diversité?
Well, as is so often the case with diversity discourses, that, you know, gives us a get out of jail free pass. Yes, dans mon expérience, c'est absolument vrai. Je ne sais pas combien d'années j'ai passé ici avant de rencontrer quelqu'un de né à Toronto. I grew up in Montreal, where it's still the case. Tout le monde veut savoir, mais c'est quoi ça comme nom? D'où tu viens? T'as habité dans quelle rue? T'as né dans quel hôpital? You know, here, you know, people really don't care. You can enter into relations without having to belong to a category most of the time. But especially if you're white or white passing. But of course, that diversity also, you know, hides lots of complicated relations of power and lots of complicated inequalities, which, you know, like most people, like most places, we could do a whole lot better. Si on pouvait vraiment beaucoup mieux mettre ça au milieu de la conversation, c'est au lieu de parler juste de diversité, de parler de comment la diversité et les inégalités sont en fait interreliées. C'est pas si simple que ça. Ça suffit pas de mettre Koreatown sur, tu sais, dans la rue pour vraiment comprendre que, tu sais, les processus anti-asiatiques, par exemple, ça existe et c'est pas beau. Mais d'un autre point de vue, I mean, one of the reasons why I have enjoyed and living and working here is that that diversity does mean that things are not so simple, and we don't have the privilege of just kind of ignoring the way in which diversity and inequality are bound up together. On est obligé, qu'on le veuille ou pas, on est obligé d'au moins se poser la question. Donc, au moins, la porte est ouverte, and I think that's really been, that is a strength. I will say that.
Mm. Étant donné que tu es une grande ethnographe, ethnography has been part of your whole life and work, je me demande comment c'est dans la rue, comment tu observes cette diversité des communautés linguistiques dans ta vie de tous les jours à Toronto?
So, you know, being ethnographer of daily life, in my sense, I'm just une grande curieuse. And ethnography is an excuse. Keep up that soul. Mais c'est, je dirais, il y a des endroits qui sont en fait difficiles d'accès. Je me suis rendu compte, when I first came to Toronto, looking at these big towers in the financial district, sort of the skyline of Toronto. It's a thing, you know, you see that on a lot of logos. Et je me suis rendu compte que, tu sais, je pourrais jamais mettre le pied là-dedans. Je pourrais jamais, tu sais, c'est comme, those towers are not accessible to me. Et que ça, en fait, c'est le moteur de, non seulement de la ville de Toronto, mais du Canada. Toronto is the financial capital of Canada, and that's like the most important fact, probablement, au sujet de Toronto. Que c'est ça. C'est le cœur du capitalisme canadien, which is an extractive capitalism with colonial, I mean, it's inherited from colonial extractive capitalism. Mais ces zones-là, je peux pas les ethnographier. C'est comme, donc, par contre, dans la vie de tous les jours, dans la rue, alors là, oui, c'est les gens se parlent. Ils se parlent aussi. Je me suis rendu compte quand en partie quand je me promène avec les collègues, mais surtout quand j'ai des enfants avec qui je parle français. Et puis, so we walk along the street speaking French to each other, and all of a sudden, everybody comes out of the woodwork. Oh, t'es francophone, tu viens d'où? Ça fait longtemps que t'es. So we meet all kinds of people because we speak French. Ma fille a dit l'autre jour, elle était avec six filles avec qui elle parle français dans le parc. Et il y avait quelqu'un sur le banc qui dit, oh, mais du bien, une française qui est là depuis, je ne sais pas, 5 ans. So speaking French creates its own whole space of social relations that you bring out with your body, with your language, with your talk. And the same happens with lots of the many, many, many other languages that you hear every day on the bus, in the cafe, in the here. It is a place where the soundscape is multilingual. And that's just part of the deal, right? And so you do end up picking up, I live in an area where there's a lot of, beaucoup d'Italien, beaucoup de Portugais, beaucoup de Grec. Tu finis par, tu sais, la jasette avec la dame au café. Tu apprends des affaires, ou tu peux apprendre des affaires si tu veux. Sinon, aussi, COVID a changé des choses. Since COVID, when we were spending, we are Canadian, right? So we were very polite with each other and, avoiding people on the street that first year. Mais maintenant, oh, wow, les gens se parlent. This is like, watch out. Everybody wants to talk all the time. So for those of you who are coming for the first time, just be aware.
Et donc, dans ton milieu de travail, so it sounds like everyday minoritized language can become this sort of connector between people.
Absolutely.
But I'm wondering...
Et donc, on parle de diversité, bien sûr.
Oui, exact. Et donc là, je me demande, as someone who worked in Toronto, how did you do ethnography? How was getting into conversations from a workplace possible for you?
Yeah, I want to first just go back a moment about the transitions of Toronto, which is to say that I think Toronto has changed a lot. People, say it, and I've even felt it in the decades that I've been here. The default assumption that this is just an Anglo place doesn't hold anymore. Mm. It still holds in some. Tu sais, y a des quartiers, y a des zones, y a des, mais that's like gone. Et c'est pour jamais revenir. Et ça a un impact aussi sur les possibilités d'ethnographie, évidemment. C'est ce que ça veut dire. So I had the excellent fortune of starting out, pas juste à l'Université de Toronto, mais à l'intérieur de l'Université de Toronto, à l'IEPO, à l'Institut d'études pédagogiques de l'Ontario, the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education, et plus particulièrement le Centre de recherche en éducation franco-ontarienne, avec lequel je suis toujours associée. So the center and OISE were places where it was like an anti-ivory tower place. Being in conversation all the time with other interlocutors interested in whatever you were working on. Donc dans mon cas, l'espace francophone, on était et on est toujours constamment en conversation avec le ministère de l'Éducation, avec les conseils scolaires, avec toutes les associations. So all of the associations, institutions of francophone life, we're in constant conversation. There are students that come to our classes. There are students. We're on their boards. We go to the same meetings. C'est la conversation est constante. And then you build your relations. And that's something that, I was really conscious of dès le départ. Ça, c'est précieux, ce positionnement comme quoi la production du savoir fait partie d'une conversation dans laquelle il y a bien d'autres formes, il y a plusieurs formes de production du savoir, je vais le dire comme ça. So, knowledge producing is a widely dispersed activity. And in this space, in Francophone Canada generally, and in Toronto particularly, it's one where everybody just agrees that, we talk to each other all the time, and we have built spaces. Si on peut se réunir, un peu comme un colloque, tu sais, mais où justement c'est pas juste des universitaires, c'est pas juste des chercheurs. Everybody is there.
Puis parlons de cet espace francophone que tu as été capable d'investir au cœur même d'une une université qui est associée à vraiment le prestige anglophone. Peux-tu un peu nous raconter d'où toi tu venais pour arriver avec cette langue qui était intime à toi, de cet espace où le français avait un autre statut qu'à Toronto? Donc, tu n'as pas toujours été torontoise. C'était qui, Monica, avant Toronto?
Well, plusieurs personnes, you know, in some respects, I think, you know, one of the reasons I'm comfortable here is that I've always been marginal to dominant categories, and that means you always understand, en l'occurrence pour le Canada, les catégories ethno-linguistiques qui sont comme, these are like the building blocks of Canadian societies, these ethno-linguistic categories, and everybody thinks they're real, and, you know, exist in nature somehow or other. And I mean, you know this as well as I do, Isabelle, à cause de ta propre vie, ta propre expérience. You see right away when you're marginal to any of these, or you're in one that's marginalized, that this is, je n'ai pas besoin de raconter ça aux anthropologues, these are actually, you know, constructs, that the issue is the boundary, comme disait Frédéric Barthes, l'anthropologue norvégien. And so what becomes interesting is, why are people building these boundaries? And, you know, what are they protecting, or what are they trying to get at? And who's doing the policing? And, you know, where are the points de fuite? Where are the leakage points, the permeable points? Mais donc, pour moi, en fait, ça a été un peu compliqué dans la mesure où, d'une part, tu arrives en Ontario venant du Québec, tu es suspect. Donc, tu comprends rien. Tu comprends rien. Le milieu minoritaire, c'est pas la même chose. I would have been in the States for a long time. I came with an American degree. Oh, mais tu sais, elle arrive avec un diplôme de Berkeley, puis elle se croit fine, là. C'est pour qui elle se prend. Donc, c'est coming from the States was at the same time, you know, very prestigious, but also very suspect. And so, in fact, I was told by a colleague within the first couple of months here, un collègue francophone, franco-ontarien, débarque. Tu seras jamais accepté. C'est pas la peine. Tu viens d'ailleurs. Oh, c'est non. So just, you know, you come from outside. Nobody's ever going to trust you. Nobody's ever going to, you know, allow you to come in, en l'occurrence, to their school. Et comme tout dans l'ethnographie, c'est une question de confiance, pas de confiance en soi, mais de confiance mutuelle, de bâtir des relations sociales de confiance, et d'écouter et de se révéler. Et voilà. Et donc, so to the extent to which, you know, I wasn't the only one who had this crazy idea that schools are really important sites of struggles for power. Among linguistic groups in Canada, I mean, that was, you know, it's a central battleground. It's a central issue. So it actually wasn't all that difficult. That and the fact that, as I said earlier, people come from everywhere. And so if we're going to get anywhere here, we have to work with each other. If we're going to build anything here, we have to work with each other. On n'a pas le luxe de dire, ben, c'est non, on n'a plus besoin de personne. Donc, voilà, c'était un peu ça. Je pense que je dirais, je me suis souvent posé la question à savoir si j'aurais pu me ramasser au Québec. Tu sais? Bon, sauf qu'il y avait un gel d'embauche. So, I could have ended up in Quebec. I was actually shortlisted for a position, but then there was the Quebec government imposed a hiring freeze. And I'm sure I would have found a marginal position to work from. I mean, that's just the experience that I have had and the position which I find the most illuminating.
Donc, t'es confortable dans les marges.
Très.
Et pour les personnes qui arrivent et qui connaissent pas nécessairement les dynamiques linguistiques et les différences entre Montréal et Toronto, qu'est-ce qui serait ta petite introduction à cette différence linguistique?
So, I mean, for the people who, you know, might be listening to this, some of whom, you know, maybe from Quebec, but also from the States and from Japan and Brazil and France and all kinds of other places. I mean, first of all, clearly, there is this common sense knowledge that Toronto is either totally Anglo or it's very multilingual. But French is not part of that multilingualism. Donc, d'une part, oui, tout dans le sens, tout est vrai. So, you know, Francophones all speak English. And so unless you hear us speaking French, mostly you don't know that actually, you know, there's other languages behind. And that's true for many, 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 many people here who are bilingual, multilingual in lots of languages, but from their English, you would, you know, you can't retrieve that. So yes, English is a default language, absolutely. Although it does happen to me a lot in the streets here that people come up and speak to me. Once it was in Mandarin, once it was in Spanish to ask me for directions. Apparently, I look like that. So be prepared for people to come up and speak to you in a language that you may not know. That's, you know, that can happen here. And et si vous êtes francophone, ça c'est donc qu'il y a une tonne de gens qui parlent français, que ce soit leur langue principale ou pas, qui soient complètement à l'aise avec ou pas, mais ça se donne que c'est pas si difficile que ça naviguer Toronto en français.
Ça, c'est très intéressant, Monica. Puis, avant de poser des petites questions un peu plus pratiques pour découvrir Toronto, je me demande si tu pourrais nous dire c'est quoi les transitions majeures que tu as vues à Toronto ces dernières années, peut-être depuis la pandémie, et surtout, c'est quoi les transitions que tu aimerais voir à Toronto pour le futur?
Ben, COVID définitivement push people out into the streets. And so, you know, it is harder in January and February, I will, you know, admit that. Mais sinon, le plaisir de la vie dans la rue, that has stayed with us, absolutely. And so that's a change that's been quite wonderful, yeah, in many ways. À part ça, il y a des transitions qui sont moins de fun. Everybody makes fun of Montreal for being covered in orange construction cones. We're catching up. So if you're driving, November, well, it won't be so bad. Summer is awful. But we're catching up on the cone orange competition.
So Montrealers will be right at home.
Exactly. There have been, unfortunately, sort of, it becomes harder and harder to get access to the lake, which is a wonderful feature of Toronto. Heureusement, le colloque va avoir lieu au Centre des Congrès. Et tu peux aller 5 minutes, même pas, au bord du lac, parce que tu es déjà de l'autre côté de l'autoroute. Et tu es déjà de l'autre côté de la voie ferrée. So the promises that were made over the years about opening up access to the lake, you know, we're lost to developers. And that's just, you know, a transition that has been, really, really unfortunate. Sinon, je pense que le fait de ne pas pouvoir voyager tellement souvent, I mean, people here, you know, travel all the time, partly because people are from someplace else and they're always, family's coming, friends are coming, and they're going, as I was saying earlier, les plaisirs de rester chez soi, ont aussi beaucoup augmenté. So yeah, it's a place that people like to be, and I think that's been a really positive transition. It kind of had the reputation of being a place where you come to work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of the serious money making place you come to work here, and that's shifting in some really great ways.
Mm. And so what about the future?
Well, comme je te disais, on a les élections municipales le 26 juin. So the date at which we are talking is just before municipal elections. So there's been a lot of discussion precisely about that. And there are huge debates about transit, le transport en commun en particulier. Toronto a toujours été un peu ambivalent par rapport au transport en commun. So there have been a lot of, so, you know, certainly one area where there have been, you know, concerns about carbon footprints, about cars, even electric cars. There was something recently about the amount of space that's devoted to parking lots, and in a city where there is a housing shortage. So, you know, issues of, I mean, Toronto has been a place where you can live right in, you can live anywhere in the city. So tu peux habiter au centre-ville. And that can, it's become very expensive. It's being, that possibility is being threatened. And so I think it's really important to build on ce plaisir que j'ai raconté, d'être ici, d'être ensemble, de rencontrer des gens de tout partout, de mondes que tu connais pas, des mondes à découvrir juste de l'autre côté de ta rue, chez ton voisin. Ça, c'est si on est tout le monde est forcé de quitter parce que ça coûte trop cher. On perd cet aspect précieux of, you know, the world is here. The world is on our street. The world is in our cafe. The world is on our subway. The world is on my bus. And if we're forced out because of housing prices, then we'll lose that.
So last question, what would be your advice for someone coming to Toronto for the first time, or maybe coming to Toronto for the first time in a long time? Because I'm getting that it really has changed a bit in the last few years. So what would be the one thing that people should not miss? Is it for you a restaurant? Is it une exposition, a musée? What would be one suggestion from Monica?
The lac, the lake.
Oh. Est-ce que les gens peuvent louer des vélos?
Bien sûr, il y a un système Bixi. So there's, you know, there's one of those stands all over the city where you can just, you know, rent a bike and then leave it someplace else. I didn't scope out the one near the convention center, but I'm sure there is. I mean, that's right downtown. The convention center is basically next to the train station. So, you know, and on more or less on top of a subway stop, or like 5 minutes from a subway stop. So you're connected there. Et oui, tu peux absolument louer des vélos. Toronto has, you know, trying to become a vélo friendly. There's bike lanes. In fact, in the downtown core, there's a lot of bike lanes. Les conducteurs de Toronto sont pas fantastiques. Fait que faites attention si vous prenez le vélo. Like, watch out, Toronto drivers. I've seen better. So bike, absolutely, but just, you know, be aware of your surroundings. Don't forget to wear a helmet. So yeah, it is actually very easy to get around. It's big, and some of the, you know, like the great Chinese restaurants are in the suburbs. So you have to kind of know, and you gotta, you know, get there. They're a bit difficult to get to, but you know, downtown, you know, you want to partly see the downtown core with the, you know, to get that, you know, beating heart of the financial district, but you can then strike out from there, go down to the lake, go west along Queen Street for kilometers and kilometers and kilometers, and just kind of go through the different zones. I do, in terms of museums, the galeries, j'adore. Il y a deux endroits dans la galerie d'art de l'Ontario, the AGO, the Art Gallery of Ontario. There is on the second floor this kind of canoe-shaped gallery. You're outside, it's wood and glass. So you're kind of perched above the street and surrounded by light and wood. J'adore le bois. Le bois est comme, pour moi, super, j'adore. And the other is the Krieghoff Gallery. Il y a des salles dédiées aux peintres 19e siècle d'origine irlandaise, Cornelius Krieghoff, qui a peinturé des tableaux de la vie paisible des habitants francophones, franco-québécois, dans les régions rurales du Québec. So he made this kind of, these slightly Bruegel-esque, paintings of the happy life of the Quebecois peasant. So it's like a one, I mean, we know a lot about the work of art, or the way in which art contributes to the colonial imaginary, We know a little bit more about how that has worked out with indigenous spaces, but here's a little peek into coloniality in the representation of the French Canadian, du Canadien français.
Those are some great suggestions, and I love how you say come to the city. Here are some activities, but don't forget the margins and don't forget the nature. So that's wonderful. So merci, Monica.
Thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you in Toronto this November. For more information, check out the conference website at annualmeeting.americananthro.org. And if you like what you hear, please also check out the AAA podcast directory for other great anthropology podcasts, including my own, Anthropology in Business and AnthroTUX. Thanks again, and see you in November.